Good morning. This is my type of gospel, can you tell? Years ago when I was in 1990, and I talked about it before, but I was in Rome for the worldwide retreat for priests. There was 6,000 or 9,000 priests, I can't remember the number, it filled the whole audience hall of the Holy Father. Pope John Paul the Great was alive still then. Mother Teresa was there. He was there. Mother Teresa was there. I was reflecting on this the other day as I was thinking of the homily. A lot of my whole theology has developed because of that one conference, those 5 days in Rome. It set off the decade of evangelization. And the whole point was to evangelize, huh? But one of the speakers there was Sister Bridge McKenna. Now, Sister Bridge McKenna is a very holy nun. She's still alive by God's grace. And she has great devotion to the Blessed Sacrament. She spends 4 hours every day, no matter where she is in the world. If they're going to fly her in to talk, they must promise her she gets 4 hours in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And nowadays, she deals mostly with bishops and priests. But in those days, when she would go around the world, she always did her 4 hours before the Blessed Sacrament, and she would bring out with a priest the Blessed Sacrament, and thousands of miracles of healing occurred through her intercession and through her prayers, but all by the power of God. But one of the things that she was sitting there, this very holy nun who's from Ireland, a great lady who was healed herself in her younger life. She wrote a book called Miracles Do Happen. It's a great book. I encourage you to get it by Sister Bridge McKenna. But anyway, here she is, and she's talking to us priests, and she's setting us up as all good speakers do. And she goes, "Oh, fathers, oh, you're so holy. Oh, who am I to even speak to you, priests? Oh, my. Oh, Father, you do all these holy things. Oh, my, how good you are." But she says, "But fathers, where is your heart before the God of the universe? Fathers, is your heart filled with lust? Fathers, is your heart filled with envy? Fathers, is your heart filled with anger? Fathers, is your heart filled with resentment?" And she kept going and listing her things one after another. And again, as I've said, told you before, in that whole audience hall, where there were 6,000 or 9,000 priests, everyone's head started to drop. Boom, 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 boom. Because she was killing us, ever so gently, but she was killing us. Because she was calling forth what was in our hearts. Because, and this is what Jesus is doing today. Here's these people who think they're righteous because they don't do these other things like other people do. You know, it's kind of like coming into a crowd today and say, you know, "Oh, none of you commit adultery. Ooh. Oh, none of you get angry and you've killed anybody. Ooh. Oh, none of you had an abortion or helped someone abortion. Ooh. And so you think you're pretty good, don't you?" And he goes, "Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do think I'm pretty good compared to those other pagans. I'm here. I go to church. It's Bread of Life, St. Joseph Church, Bread of Life Community. The pastor's a nut. I go there every week, huh? Yeah, I'm pretty good. Absolutely. And Jesus looks at you and me and says, "What about your heart? Huh? What's going on in your heart?" Now again, the two things Jesus deals with are the things that I always deal with when it comes to men. If you got to see me this past week on Bookmark, huh? They ask about, you know, something in my book, and it's something I talk about a lot when I'm at men's conferences. I'll be in Charlotte this weekend coming up, and we'll talk about the same thing. The two great sins of all men are what? Anger and lust. Huh? But it's not just men. Women have the same things. That's why Christ talks about it, huh? Women are usually more passive-aggressive about it. I'd rather take aggressive any day than passive-aggressive. Let me give you a hint. Oh, oh, please yell at me, scream at me, tell me I'm no good. Don't just sit there and go, huh. Oh. So anyway, whatever it is, everybody has these two things inside of them. Whether we do it aggressively or passive-aggressively, we have these things in our hearts. And so what Jesus, and now see, this is all important, because these sins that are private sins all affect the community, correct? They affect everybody. Because if you and I have anger in our heart, and I don't know anything about this particular sin myself, anger, but those of you who struggle with it yourselves, you sit there and you think, when you have anger inside of you, it's putting a divider between you and the community, correct? Absolutely. Community in the church, community in your little family. You know, when a wife or a husband's mad at their spouse in their heart, what's wrong? Oh, nothing. There is division there. It creates division, huh? These things inside of all of us that we struggle with, this anger and this lust. is what Jesus is talking about. And what we got to do to deal with that is, first of all, acknowledge it, admit it, and let God heal it. Huh? When a person sits here and says, are you angry about something? And they say no, that's a lie. So you got to admit it. Now again, as I've talked about before, anger by definition, and so with lust, is a symptom of something much deeper. It's usually not the problem in itself, correct? Anger, when people deal with anger, the reason they're dealing with anger, because, as I talked about before, is they're usually afraid of something or they're hurt by something. And they express it and they protect themselves by the use of their anger. So, you can tell a person, stop getting angry and make them more angry, or you can sit there and say, what are you afraid of? Huh? Or, what are you hurting about? And then you dismiss the anger because the anger will go away. But it's the same with us individually when we come before God. The first thing we got to do is acknowledge that and let Jesus heal that and confess that, right? You know, you got to confess those things. And when you and I do it, when we take responsibility, we can sit there and let God bring healing to the anger in our hearts. Lust. It's not just sexual lust, but there's lust for power, there's lust for prestige, there's lust for wanting things, materialism. There's a lot of that. And what the problem with that is, of course, again, is fear, because I might have nothing, or as, again, Hebrews would talk about, that fear of death. And because of fear of death, because we don't want to deny ourselves or not have something, what do? We lust after things, and we try to comfort ourselves to take away the fear of having nothing. And as again the Hebrew author says, those people the devil keeps in slavery because of fear of death. The devil keeps us in slavery our whole life long. So a person that's in lust is a person who's in slavery. And again, we don't get mad at people that are in slavery. We try to set them free. Again, my favorite story, if I told you before, and I just love the story, is the story in The Great Divorce by C.S. Lewis. And here's a guy who has lust. And women have lust too. I've heard confessions for 23 years. I know about the women and their lust. Anyway, so you have this demon of lust on your shoulder, huh? This guy has this demon of lust. And he's crying out to God, 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 please help me, help me, help me. I can't take this demon of lust. So God sends an angel. And the angel says, what's the problem? He said, it's this demon of lust. I can't stand it. It makes me do these horrible things. I hate it. I hate myself because of this demon. And the angel looks at him and says, may I kill it? And the man says, well, I don't know if you want to kill it, maybe. Maybe you could just wound it a little or take the chain it has around my neck. You know, maybe you can just do something like that. And the angel looks at him and says, may I kill it? And the guy says, oh, that's not very politically correct, you know, to kill things nowadays. Maybe you could just do this. And the angel says, may I kill it? And then finally the man says, yes, 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 kill it. And the angel reaches out and he takes that demon of lust and he crushes it and he kills it. And the demon is transformed into a beautiful white stallion. The man jumps on the stallion and the stallion takes him home to heaven. If you and I are going to deal with our anger and our lust, however that happens to be, we need to give God permission to kill it. That, Lord, I've had this in my life my whole life. Or, Lord, I like this. And we all got to admit, we like our anger, we like our lust because it does something for us. And so what happens is when we come before the Lord every Sunday and he looks at you and he says, yep, you've struggled with this again this week. Are you finally going to let me kill it? And what are you going to say? Oh, I don't know, Lord. I don't know. I kind of like it. I don't know. Or we make our excuses. Well, I'm like this way because of my dad. Very nice. If you're like that because of somebody else, then God can't do anything for you because it's not your fault. You and I today have to look at the Lord and say, Lord, I give you permission to kill it forever. And when you give him permission, then he can do something. You got it? Get it? Gonna do it? May you know his love today and forever. Amen.